CJAM 99.1 FM programming is hosted almost exclusively by community volunteers. The views and opinions expressed on the following program are that of the host and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM. For more information and resources, visit our website at cjam.ca.
Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells. For our special Joe Strummer Day episode, we're going to be looking at some of the issues surrounding poverty and disability. In this segment of our show, Sarnia Mayor Mike Bradley will be sharing his insights on poverty and disability. So, as we've discussed before, there are a lot of issues concerning poverty and disability, but over the past year, what, if any, changes have you seen to the situation?
Well, I think there's much more public awareness of what's happening with people in poverty and some of the other social issues. I'm not saying that that's moving the issues forward to be dealt with by governments in a comprehensive manner that takes care of people and moves them up so they're not living in tent cities. They're not feeling that they can't afford to buy food on a regular basis. And they're being denied some basic rights as Canadians.
So, you yourself, as a disabilities advocate in the business world, especially in Sarnia, have you seen any progress being made among business leaders as far as recruiting individuals with disabilities?
Well, I think we've made some strides in the last few years because it was proven that the disability group, if you can call them that, are excellent employees and that stay at home and work dealt with some of the issues of access in the past physically. But right now, the climate is tough. People are pulling back. I saw a survey the other day that 50% of Ontarians are not going out. They're just not going out into their communities because they can't afford to. And that is disturbing. And that impacts and ripples back on employment and a number of other factors as it relates to people with disabilities. So it's a bit tougher right now, but I think that'll change as we head into 2024.
So do you have any advice for those out there who might be looking to expand their workforce and get people with disabilities involved and change
the time? Well, I think it's really simple. There's all sorts of groups in your respective communities. I mean, I have groups here like Community Living and other groups that work with people with disabilities. They're eager to provide qualified, talented employees. And this is probably a good time to do that when there is a shortage of workers in this country. And that's why places like Sarnia and others have been looking in to bring in more immigrants to make up for that gap which we can't fill. But what is being ignored is the disability community that are there now, often very well educated, willing to work, do all the things that you would want from a good employee. So I think that message just needs to be continue to be pushed. But there are advocates and groups in every community that are eager to provide disability employment to people.
What steps has Sarnia taken to keep a positive atmosphere for potential workers with disabilities? I know in the past you've really pushed to get business leaders involved. So
that push continues. It's more subtle now. It's a bit diminished only because the times are a bit more difficult to deal with when we're dealing with a lot of other issues, including the homeless, the addiction issues, shelter and housing and all those things. But I continue to do that on a daily basis. And in the new year, we'll be doing some things to recognize the former David Onley, the late David Onley, and his work on disabilities and hoping to engage employers in why he was so successful and why there's a direct benefit to employers to have people with disabilities in their workforce.
So, when it comes to things you mentioned, such as housing or lack of food and whatnot, for some workers with disabilities, it's got to come down to that incredibly difficult choice. Do I eat or do I have transportation to work? Are there any steps you can suggest for those out there who might be asking this question they can take?
I think just need Cam to keep the pressure on the province and the federal government to deal with issues that we've raised before in the disability community and the advocacy community is looking at a guaranteed annual income. It was supposed to happen in Ontario on 3 pilot projects and Ford City supported them, then he didn't. And I think we need to test, and we saw that, you know, during COVID when people were receiving payments directly from the federal government, how much it helped them get through that crisis in the business world and the private world. And I think we need to take another good look at that, because you just cannot continue to have the status quo as it relates to disability payments and the lack of increase in those payments over the years. There's been some small steps made. The federal government's brought forward a program, but it's going to be at least a year before they implement it. That's just wrong. There should be the urgency of now to move forward on those programs right now when people need them, not waiting a year or a year and a half to do so. So the more pressure people put on their MPs and MPPs, the better it is.
So do you have any thoughts as far as the recommendation that disability benefit be indexed to match inflation? Because $500 today is not $500 10 years from now.
It needs to be indexed and needs some catch-up too. And again, we're talking about, we're taking basic income. This is not even survival income. And it's interesting how other things can be indexed without any concern, but this should be indexed and it should be there because it goes right to where the need is.
So, have you seen any positive steps being taken in recent memory?
Well, I think there's more awareness. I think there's a more aggressive advocacy in the disability community and with the supporters like myself. I think that's good, because people shouldn't have to wait years and years just to have basic human rights and basic income to make them survive, allow them to survive in this country. And everyone talks about it. You know, provincial ministers make announcements once a year and they make proclamations, but it's not getting to the heart of the issue, which is having people have an income that allows them not just to survive, but to prosper and to have the benefits of life that many other Canadians have.
When it comes to that, one of the big issues might be covering non-insured medical treatments. I mean, getting this benefit might mean the difference between living through those 10 years and just having a condition that someone succumbs to.
Well, I think, you know, it's a really good point. You know, what's going on out there right now with people just trapped in their lives, and seeing no hope, seeing no way out of it. And again, I think we need to get much more attention to those issues. Governments get very distracted with what I call side issues. Instead of dealing with the fundamentals and making sure people have shelter and a good income to be able to function in their lives without fear of putting food on the table or losing their homes or their apartments or whatever. And it needs much more than the rhetoric we've heard in the last year or so.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you, Cam.
Of course. In this segment of our show, Hubert Van Niekerk of Every Canadian Counts will be sharing his insights on poverty and disability. So, can you tell me a little bit about the work ECC is engaged in and how it might be of benefit to Canadians with disabilities?
Yeah, thanks for the interview, Cam. Every Canadian Counts, ultimate goal, and because of all the nightmarish systems and the waiting lists in every part of the province and territories, what we feel that's necessary is a publicly funded national disability insurance program for all people with long-term and chronic disabilities. And that would be from birth or whether you acquire an accident between now and later.
So this strategy would seem to have the benefit of easing some of the financial burdens on those with disabilities who can't necessarily get mainstream insurance.
Yes, it's based on need, not necessarily on diagnosis. So if a child is born with a disability, they get assessed, and that goes into the formula, and that then gets assessed for life of that person. It would also include paid caregiving for those that decide to either stay home or hire somebody to come in, so that the person, and mostly it was women, that would be quitting their jobs to look after their little one, so now they can go on with their careers if they wish, or they can stay home and get paid for the caregiving.
That would seem to be a huge benefit to the economy, in so much as it's actually creating more opportunities, not just for the disability community to be working, but for those connected.
Yes, where they have this already in place in Australia. I think it's in 2018 still, it added about 2% to the gross domestic product of the country. So it's not only good for people, it's also good for the economy.
So what are some of the challenges that might present themselves in actually making this work?
The challenges, the beauty of it is that we've had, we have a model that Australia used with their National Disability Insurance Scheme. And so we're able to look and see what they did and what problems they ran into. They just completed a major review of the whole system because some of the costs were getting out of sync, and even still some people were not being served. So they just completed this review. So it's Canada's and our plan for Every Canadian Counts to look very closely at that review and not make the same mistakes and be able to copy and paste with edits. And so they really are like the guinea pig or the test pilot for Canada. And now it would be more expensive now for them to go back and fix what was wrong. And we have the benefit of their experience so that we don't make those same mistakes.
So in terms of getting the plan implemented, have there been any successes so far that you've seen working with others and trying to bring this to the forefront, essentially?
Yeah, we have a lot of, certainly buy-in from political forces. The Liberal caucus put this forward as a recommendation. We have a lot of associations who have given us letters of support, both Disability Employment Services and others that are on board. And we also now are getting more representation in other parts of the country, which we did have a few years back. And now we're introducing those things into the regional areas. So British Columbia, we have good representation. We have real good possible representation in Nunavut and the territories, and also in New Brunswick, hopefully fairly soon. So we're looking to kind of spread out at least in three regions. And every province could also have a region as well in every province. So that would push for the same values as Every Canadian Counts for a publicly funded disability insurance program.
So if you could send any message to the community and those in leadership about why this matters and why Canada should adopt this, what would you say?
Well, they should adopt it because, healthier people, happier people are good for the economy. It's the right thing to do. And it makes no sense not to do it. When you have those things where people are healthier, it's good for the economy. Why wouldn't you do it? It's just the right thing to do. Where poverty, the disability benefit that is planned at the present time, the Canada Disability Benefit, is geared towards those with disability and poverty. But it doesn't cure the disability. So disability and poverty are actually two separate things. What will people actually spend their money on if they get this funding now from the government because they are disabled and poor? Are they going to spend it for groceries, or are they going to spend it for the wheelchair that can actually get them to the grocery store? There's a huge amount of homelessness that exists, and it's estimated that 20% of people that become homeless have a mental health concern. But after a year, it's closer to 40%. And it's also, I've seen reports of 50% of people that are homeless have a brain injury disability. So what's key here is early intervention so that we can prevent these situations, these atrocities. And we really need supported housing where people can get the psychological support. They can have a secure place to live and have the opportunity to pull themselves out of homelessness and poverty.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure. Thank you, Ken.
Of course. Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health or addiction, consider registering to the new REACT program launched by Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative. REACT is a 90-day program committed to understanding your story and supporting your journey to healthy and long-term healing. All sessions are online and completely free, running weekdays from 9 a.m. until noon. Visit reactwindsor.ca and instantly be connected to a safe and supportive community. That's reactwindsor.ca.
Welcome back to the Strummer Day edition of Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Today's show, we're looking at some of the issues surrounding poverty and disability. Earlier in our show, Sarnia Mayor Mike Bradley gave us an update on his efforts to this end, and we heard from Every Canadian Counts representative Hubert Van Niekerk. In this segment of our show, Sean Wiltshire will be giving us an update on some of the issues of poverty and disability. So, we've talked previously about some of the issues concerning poverty and disability. Over the past year, do you have any reflections as to steps we've taken or steps we should have taken?
I think there are two things come to mind, Cam. The very first one is being the Canada Disability Benefit. That's step one. Many years we get to the end of the year when we try to reflect on what's happened, we haven't seen the needle move at all. I think in 2023, and also because of the pandemic, and the idea that this inclusivity of a community that we are trying to build has gotten a little bit of traction. Now, it is step one. The needle has moved a little bit. But what does the disability benefit look like as we move forward? And I think the second big issue we saw this year was just actually 2 days ago, where they released the new statistics on disability in Canada. We've seen a very large increase right across the board in all areas of our country, whether it be northern Canada or closer to the larger metropolitan centers, an increase in disability. And it's a substantial jump, I think, and a lot of it is mental health. I think we're continuing to see fallout from the pandemic. There's also been a general more acceptance of neurodiversity and how that fits into our community. And I think finally I would say that we, with statistics like this that demonstrate that many, many more people in Canada have a disability than maybe previously had been discussed, will also get folks in the country to start thinking as disability is just part of the human condition. It's you know, when I looked at those statistics, I heard a comment that somebody reflected and said, what can we do to stop this? And my comment back to them was, that's part of our process, is accepting that folks may not always do it the way everybody else does. That's not a bad thing. So looking at disability as part of the human condition, as part of the process that we engage in as a species, is part of the things that we have to look at this year. But we did, I feel, see the needle move a little bit. We have some continued concerns about, you know, the medical assistance dying for folks with mental health concerns. So we've got a lot of work on our plate. But I think that this year we could pause at this time of year and reflect and say, yes, people have helped move the needle.
So in that sense, do you think with the disability benefit and the steps taken forward, that it's kind of preparing for people's own future, because a lot of people will experience in their lifetime a need for some, if not specifically disability, at least some general assistance related to their health. Preparing this benefit could have a benefit for those who haven't taken into account that they will have a disability at some point and need that support.
Right, you know, that number we hear a lot of 1 in 10 will acquire a disability, I think these new statistics could drive that number up to 2, 3. And so I think that the concern with the disability benefit is what will the provinces do? We've already seen some internal documents from the government of Ontario that while not firm, a policy paper has been written about the Ontario government clawing back benefits if the disability benefit is brought in a particular manner. Now, while the Ontario government has responded that that's just a discussion paper, it does represent a concern that many folks in Canada have of take from one hand and give with the other. So it's a concern here, ensuring that the benefit is used as it's designed, which is to support people and the cost of having a disability in Canada, that it not exclude people from the opportunity to work. We have to examine the fact that maybe not everybody's going to work 40 hours a week. But supporting folks to work as much as they want or can is an important piece of that benefit. So we want to ensure that the provinces also have some standards put in place around how this may be implemented. But it is a good thing. It's getting that discussion out there. What may come of it means that the rest of our community has to continue to do what we've done this year, which is advocate, have discussions at very high levels for the game, for to help the decision makers understand how these policies are actually going to be implemented. And I think that's the challenge many times you're looking at a national program, is how will that be instituted in, you know, Vancouver versus Nova Scotia versus Northern Ontario. And so I think that the job, of course, we always say our job's never done, but it's particularly important now to have these discussions at a level that folks understand that the implementation is almost as important as the acknowledgement that is going forward.
Well, one of the key pitfalls I'd find would be that statistics don't cover those who have conditions that aren't generally accepted or well known by the medical community, or individuals who don't self-identify. There are those who just, no matter what you say to them, they will not recognize they have a disability. So the number could actually be a lot higher and the need much greater.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that again, comes back to our commentary just a few minutes ago about making disability part of the human condition. People have brown hair, red hair, no hair. Well, some folks have disabilities, other folks don't, and it's part of that. I think that when people are afraid to acknowledge the challenge they may have through a disability, it's that they recognize that the supports aren't there for them. So I think that it's almost a case of, I'm not going to acknowledge it because there's nobody to help me. And I think that, as you said, is a danger to drive the number up. And it absolutely increases costs across the board for our society, whether that be mental health or hospital stays or other medical costs. Those are going to be there. And if we don't acknowledge and provide the support, we'll continue to have people fall through the cracks and not have the services and supports they need to be a fully participating member.
So, in that sense, heard a lot of talk about the idea of indexing the benefit, making sure that it matches the times, so to speak.
You know, it's one of those things that we always look at. What do we do in the future? There has been such a amount of work to get to this point where the disability benefit is starting to move ahead. And while it received unanimous support in the House of Commons, that was almost around concept. My big concern is that indexing is important. There is no good to institute a benefit that 10 years from now we've got to tear down and build up again because costs have changed, disability has changed, society has changed. This disability benefit will be a moving target all the time. As we've seen from our new statistics in Canada, we know more folks have disabilities. disabilities. So again, the benefit and the idea that we can support people to be fully participating members of society has gained a little more traction. But we need to ensure that it's not a short-lived process and that it continues to see folks through their lives. And having that opportunity, I think, to sort of say to folks that this has to be an ongoing discussion. We can't stop here. The benefit is a good thing, but the evolution of the benefit will be a better thing.
I'd thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
Thanks. The issues surrounding poverty and disability are ongoing, which is why in the weeks ahead I'll be exploring this topic some more. The fact is, for a person with a disability who has a lack of access to food, medical care, legal representation, the poverty cycle can be a difficult one to break. There are things in the works trying to change the score. For those living high off the hog, it's easy to say, these things don't affect me, or I don't have to worry about it. But the truth is, disability life, like poverty, affects us all. In some way, we're all connected to somebody affected. Honestly, this is the time of year where people really should be coming together, giving their best. One person alone cannot solve all the problems. It's true. However, each of us takes on at least the smallest effort to improve quality of life for somebody out there with a mental health concern or just needs better access. Working together, there can be a real change. Fact is, you hear all the horror stories, you hear the scary things about the world today. But I maintain there's also a lot of hope to be had. You were talking about this plan for a disability insurance strategy. It's a great idea, in my opinion. It's something we could do, just to improve the quality of life. I mean, the person has to make those difficult choices. Food or transportation, housing, or being able to have the proper mobility aid to get through a workday. That's a non-choice. You can't ask someone to make those kinds of decisions. Yeah, if you can afford both, that's great. But how many of us really can? How many of us can honestly say that we have all that we need to be at our best? I maintain there are those who have earned a certain amount of finance, those who have worked hard and are doing good by it. No judgment there. But the truth is, money and access are resources not meant to be hoarded, not meant to be given to a select few. These are things that are meant to be shared and distributed. I often ask the question of my friends and those who know me well, what point is there in living in the ivory tower if all you can do is watch the world below? If you can't make a difference in your people, you're not living among them. You're not doing all that you can to live a full life. By creating better opportunities and better access, trying to lift people out of these cycles, you get to share in their joy. You get to see their world changing from a place where they have nothing, including hope, to a place where they themselves feel so validated, like someone sees them, not just as numbers in a bank account, but as people, worthy, intelligent, capable people. People like Sean are out there every day, creating new employment opportunities for the disability community. And that's where it begins. But we must never rest on our laurels and say, this is good enough. Equality is a process. It is not just some box to be checked off a list. But every day, if we take a step forward, we are creating equality and hope for the future. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week. And just in case, all the best for the holidays. See you soon.